Apparently so, right? Okay, let's go to, let's try Romans. Everybody likes Romans so much. Since we're talking about Rome, let's try the book of Romans. I don't know if they have it anymore, but they used to have a bread called Roman meal bread. I remember as a little boy, we used to get Roman meal bread. Not that that means anything to anybody but me, but I thought I'd tell you anyway. Romans chapter 8. Mice. Romans chapter 8. Let's start in let's start in verse number 5. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5, the Bible says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse number 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Verse number 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, why did we read all that? We read all that for this reason. "For to be carnally minded is death," verse number 6, "but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And I'm going to try to preach tonight a little bit about having a change of mind. You know what we all ought to have? A change of mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray this evening that not only would you show us and teach us from your word, that you would burden us, Lord, that we would become doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, the only way we can really have a change of mind is to let it be a mind about you. Help us, Father, as we look to the scriptures, that one of these scriptures would mean something exceptionally special to one of us or all of us, and we would have a change of mind this night. Father, I thank you and I praise you. And I pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Change of mind, change of mind, change of mind. Have anybody ever asked you this question after you did something that wasn't very intelligent? Did they say something like, "Well, what were you thinking about?" Right? I mean, you've all heard that before, haven't you? What were you thinking about? Maybe you ought to have a change of mind and start thinking about something that's a little bit more intelligent. I heard the story about a man in Texas one time had taken off all his clothes and jumped into a cactus patch. And his friends go, well, what did you do that for? He said, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. I mean, you remember the last time you did something dumb? It seemed like a good idea at the time, didn't it? But you can look back now and say, I have no idea what I was thinking about. I just did it. Maybe that's the thing we wasn't thinking, right? Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you conform to this world, you know what you'll not have? You won't have a change of mind. Even though you're saved, you won't know about the will of God. You won't know about the perfect will, the acceptable will, or the good will. You don't know any of them. Why? Because you're thinking only about yourself. That's where the change of mind comes in. We need to start thinking about others. Here's the solution to having true joy in your life. First of all, you think about Jesus. That's the J. Then you think about others. That's the O. And then you think about you. That's the Y. And if you can do that on a daily basis, you'll have joy. How do I know? Well, if you don't believe me, try it. Well, that's the best thing to do, right? Here's what you should do. You should try to prove me wrong. And try that for a week and see what happens. A whole week, just don't think about you. Just think about Jesus and others, and then think about you. Because when you start thinking about Jesus and others, you won't even remember you. Your mind will be completely changed. Philippians chapter 2. Change your mind, change your mind. Now listen, you know what God did when he saved you? He gave you an opportunity to have a change of mind. You don't have to think about sin anymore. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. Now you can choose to do that. But look what it says here in Philippians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to skip down to verse number 8. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do we have a mind like that? Are we willing to give it up for the Lord? Because that's what Jesus was. He was willing to give it up for God, even though he was God manifest in the flesh. But you understand what I'm saying, right? Are you, Christian, willing to give it up? And when are you going to try it? One of the problems about giving things to God is we can easily take it back. It seems like it's never permanent, which is kind of sad. Look at verse number 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what it says? How many people understand what all things mean? Who understands what all things mean? What does all things mean? You mean I have to work without murmuring and disputing? You mean I have to pay taxes without murmuring and disputing? You mean I have to drive the speed limit without murmuring and disputing? Well, now, I'm not saying you can't not do that. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, don't murmur and complain about it. If you want to do some murmur and complain, do murmur and complain when the Lord judges you for it. That'd be a good thing to murmur and complain about, right? All right, now look at verse number 15. This is why you're supposed to do all things without murmuring and disputings. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We're supposed to have the mind that the Lord had. What did he do? He didn't complain. He made one statement you could consider a complaining statement, and it wasn't really a complaining statement. All he did was ask the Lord. He said, Father, if it can be, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Right? Lord, I don't want to do this, but if you want me to, help me to get through it then. Right? I don't want to study for school. But Lord, if that's what you want me to do, help me to do it. I don't want to memorize verses. Well, just pick something. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. That seems like to be the American chant now. I don't want to. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 15, if you would please. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. What's he talking about? He's talking about verse 14. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you could be saved a week. You could be saved 50 years. You could be saved, well, pick a number. But God has called you to do something. I don't know what it is. I know he called me to be an evangelist, and that's what I'm doing. He might have just called you to come to church whenever the doors open. That's all he wants from you. So you can be an example to someone else. Maybe that's the only testimony you'll ever have. The only chance you'll ever have to be a witness is the neighbors will see you go to church and they'll say, well, he must be a Christian. She must be a Christian. Always going to church. The scary part is, if that's what they're thinking, then you have to watch what you do. Because then they're going to judge you for not doing right. That's what they're waiting for, you to do wrong, so they can justify them not being Christians. Sometimes we need to think about the things that we do. Who's it going to affect? I can tell you that you'd be shocked if you knew how many people really are affected by you and what you do. Now I can guarantee it's more than just your family. It's more than just your friends. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Are we the Christians God wants us to be? I don't know. Can we be the Christian God wants us to be? Sure. Romans chapter 12. We'll start in verse number 16. The Bible says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I'm going to stop there for just a minute. We will go on. But one of the hardest things not to do, or one of the hardest things to do, is not to be wise in your own conceits, right? Because after all, you are fairly smart, right? I mean, you're talented, aren't you? I mean, you are, wait a minute, "You are kind of handsome, aren't you? I had to get my best side." Well, how come we never compare ourselves to the Lord when we get conceited? Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about it. If you compared yourself to Jesus Christ, our Savior, you'd have no room for conceit. You'd be humble. In fact, most of the time, you'd be embarrassed that you were so bad. I mean, compared to him, right? All right. So, verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, that's what it says. Why would it say something like that, if it be possible? Well, here's why it is possible. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Is that what it says? Okay. Verse number 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So evil can be overcome, can't it? I mean, according to the Bible. And how can we do that? By getting back at somebody? How many of you heard this expression, "I am in the South," right? This is a Southern expression, although it has made the move into the North. But here is an expression of men especially. "I don't get mad, I get even." Right? And yet my Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what I used to do? I used to pray for God to get him. How many of you ever prayed for God to get him? You want someone to pray that for you? You want God to get you? Well, then why would you want God? Well, you don't know what they did, brother. Yeah, but I know what you did. You haven't always been Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, have you? You don't want someone to get you. Here's what I pray. Now, I might be thinking this for God to get him, but here's what I pray. I say, God, be good to him. Bless him in a mighty way. Do a mighty work in their life. Now, why would I say that? Because I believe it's in the book of Romans. I think it's chapter 1 or 2. It says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Right? So if I want them to change, what's the best way for me to go about it? Ask God to be good to them. Is the Bible true? Well, does the goodness of God lead thee to repentance? The Bible says it does. So if someone's giving me a hard time, what do I need to do? God, be good to them. Just pray for them. If I do somebody wrong, I want them to pray for me that way, don't I? How about you? You want that? We're going to have to get everybody to scoot in the middle so I can do it. Because we got enough room for everybody right here in the center, right? I'm sorry. Everybody has their seat. I'm sorry. The guy, you have a visitor come and he sits down and you go, that's my seat. Now, I know you don't, but I'm telling you, there are churches that do that. Now, here's what we could do just to make everybody feel real comfortable tomorrow. Tomorrow, everybody that sits over here will sit over there. And then everybody that sits over here will sit there. And everybody that sits there will sit there. Could you do that? (Laughs) Well, you could, right? You just won't. First Timothy chapter 1. Well, I'm having a good time. First Timothy chapter 1, praise God. I think I'll just change my mind about that. Second Timothy, by the way, since I changed my mind. Second Timothy chapter 1. I'm allowed to change my mind, right? Second Timothy chapter 1. I thought you were going to do that. Well, I was, but I changed my mind. That's what you need to tell the Lord, right? Well, I thought you said you were going to. Yeah, I know, Lord, but I changed my mind. Well, have you ever been at the altar and told the Lord for sure you were going to do whatever you were going to do? And you might have been able to do that for a while, but then eventually you stopped doing it. Why did you stop? I'm just going to say, because this is a message about changing your mind, that that's what you did. You changed your mind. You know what God has never done? Change his mind. I mean, think about that. Throughout history, God has never went, well, I should have done that different. Now, he has stopped doing something he was going to do and did something, if I understand that. But since God is as smart as he is, I think he knew all along what he was going to do, and he just did it for our sake. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Right? There used to be, when I was a drug addict, back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, I'm sorry, 60s, 70s, and 80s, because I stopped, well, anyway. They used to have a commercial that showed a frying pan on a fire. And they showed an egg, and they said, this is a frying pan, but they didn't say this was a frying pan. They said, this is your brain, right? Or this is drugs. The thing was kind of, the oil was popping, and this is drugs. And then they took an egg, and they cut it like that, and they put it in a skillet, and it just started frying. And they said, this is your brain on drugs. And now you know what they've done? This is how smart the government is. They decided they would legalize marijuana because they want everybody's brain to be fried on drugs. Oh, it doesn't affect you. Liars. Well, I just do it once in a while. Well, then you're an idiot. I mean, nothing personal. But you're talking to someone who did it for a little while. You know what happened to my brain? It got fried. And you know the problem is? It'll never come back. Memories that I've lost and intelligence that I've lost, it's lost. It's lost. What was it? Drinking and smoking dope and snorting dope and ingesting dope. Well, I'm telling you, you can some of the stand here behind this pulpit and speak from experience. God puts it this way: a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know what God has given us? He's given us a sound mind. When you got saved, that's what he did. He gave you a sound mind. I used to have no memory at all, but I can memorize verses now. Now, I might not remember anything else, but I can remember verses. Why? Well, I think it's important to God. Anybody here have trouble memorizing verses? Who has trouble memorizing verses? Okay, let's go through the Ken Dean Evangelist Bible Memorization course. We'll do the first one for free, right? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Don't try this at home, kids. I'm a professional. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Out loud, what does it say in verse 16? What's it say? Does everybody have 1 Thessalonians 5:16 in their hand? What's it say? All right, now keep your hand in, keep your finger in. Close your Bible, keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians. Close the Bible. All right, now what's it say in verse 16? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says what? I thought you couldn't memorize the Bible. You got that one memorized, didn't you? Okay, lesson number two. You'll get the bill later, but lesson number two. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What's it say in verse 17? Pray without ceasing. All right, close your Bible. What's it say in 1 Thessalonians 5:16? What's it say in verse 17? What's it say in verse 18? What's it say in verse 22? I'm just telling you the ones that I know. So, anyway, listen. This is how memorization works. If you want to do it, you will. Right? How many of you got a phone number memorized by heart? Why did you do that? Because you wanted to. Right? It's the same thing with Scripture. You're going to memorize it. This is what I found out for me. At least this works for me. I try to personalize the Scripture I'm trying to memorize. I try to get to where it fits into my life somehow. You know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to, to be a better Christian and better human, I'm supposed to pray without ceasing. I'm supposed to rejoice evermore. I'm supposed to, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, I'm supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm supposed to be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Well, I'm just telling you, that's what I'm supposed to do. So it's not that I can't do it, it's that I choose to do it. Now some of them I have a hard time with. Why? Because they're not personal to me. Go to Colossians 3 if you would please. Colossians 3. We're talking about a change of mind. Here's what we need to start doing. I'm sorry. Here's what will help you to be better in Christianity, to be more successful in your Christianity. Have a change of mind. Listen, I know this is going to be difficult to understand, especially for the younger people. It might even work for the older people too, but listen, it's not about you. It's about Him. And that's real hard. I'm telling you, from the bottom of my heart, that's very hard to do. I am not supposed to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. I'm supposed to think soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And the only way I can do that is to have a change of mind. I should set my affection where? So what should I be thinking about? Well, I should think about where my affection is, right? Where's my affection? Well, Lord willing, it should be, shouldn't it? Where's your affection? Well, how many of you thought about heaven today? How many times did you think about heaven? Did you think about the treasures you have up there? Did you think about putting more treasures up there? You see where we're going with this? You know what I thought about most of the day? I mean, I'm just being sincere with you. I thought about me. Well, I'm sorry, but I was around me all day, and that's what I thought about. How many of you are around yourself all day? Most of you, right? Who'd you think about most of the day? Come on, admit it. Colossians 3, starting in verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. What do we need to do? We need to start thinking about things that we need to think about. Humbleness of mind. How can I be a blessing to you? When you see somebody, especially if you don't like them, how can I be a blessing to them? How can I encourage them? Maybe there's something I can do to help them. I mean, how do I know? Maybe they're going through a real hard day, and all they need is someone just to say something kind to them and would change their attitude. Would change their mind, right? Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says, this I say therefore, Ephesians chapter 4, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. All of us in this room, before we got saved, we were an enemy of God. We were on our way to hell. In fact, we were just one step away from hell, because no one knows when they're going to die. I mean, you can have a heart attack at just about any age. You can stop breathing at just, I mean, cancer is no discerner of persons. I've heard and known of babies were born with cancer. So we need to remember that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Why? Because God gave us a sound mind. Now watch this. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It has to start here. You have to start thinking about, what type of person are you? Are you saved? Are you acting like you're saved? Are you talking like you're saved? Are you doing like you're saved? You know what we have that the world doesn't? We have a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We have an answer to life's problems. They're looking for an answer. Are we going to keep it hid from them? Are we? Well, are you? Maybe that's where the change of mind comes in. Lord, let me be an example. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now listen. Your mind is what tells your mouth what to say. Right? And what's in your heart gets into your mind. So if you have a change of mind, maybe your heart will be a little softer. Maybe your heart will be a little kinder. Maybe your heart will be more charitable. God doesn't want you to have a stony heart. He doesn't want you to have a hard heart. He wants you to have a heart that he can use. We need to have a change of mind. And this will be a good day for us to start having a change of mind. Romans 15. Just look down there in verse number 5. Now the God of patience, Romans 15, verse 5 and 6, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we have a mind that God, what's the best, when we, I'll put it this way. When we have thoughts or think about things that God wants us to think about, we glorify him. How do you know that? That's what the Bible tells us. Well, what am I supposed to think about? We're supposed to think soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. How many of you know how to think soberly? I mean, I don't mean you think when you're not drunk. I don't mean that. I mean, how do you think soberly? How do you think godly? How do you think righteously? Well, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Can we have a change of mind? God says we can. God has given us a sound mind, so he must know that we need to have a different kind of mind than when we got saved, right? Philippians chapter 4, let's go all the way down there to verse number 8. Since it says, finally, this will be the last verse of the night. No clapping in the back, please. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, who knows what things are true? What's true? This is true, right? All right. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, what's honest? Is this honest? All right, I'm just trying to help you out here. Whatsoever things are just, what's just? Starts with a B and has an eyeball in it. What is it? Okay, whatsoever things are pure, what's pure? Whatsoever things are lovely, for all you people from England. Would you say that this book is lovely? It gives us a lovely report, don't it? All right, whatsoever things are of good report. We know it's not the newspaper, right? We know it's not CNN News, right? So what are we supposed to think about? Well, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. What things? The things that are true. The things that are just. The things that are honest. The things that are pure. The things that are of good report. Right? Well, what are you thinking on? Perhaps, just perhaps, this would be the day we would say, Lord, I want to think on things that are pure. If I don't, help me. I want to think on things that are just. If I don't, help me. And just go down the list. I want to think on things that are honest, things that are true, lovely, of good report. I want to be thinking on things that you want me to be thinking on. That way I can set my affection on things above, because all those things are above. Right? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor?